Wired Jesus Podcast, September 24th, 2010. Creative Commons license.
Initiating startup sequence.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
Wired Jesus Podcast. Wired Wanderings of a Postmodern Pilgrim.
I don't like your God. Your God scares me.
Well, yeah, but just because God doesn't answer your prayers doesn't mean he doesn't care about you.
Well, then why didn't he give me what I wanted?
Well, God can't just answer every prayer and suddenly give you everything you want. That takes all the living out of life.
What do you mean?
Hello. And welcome to the Wired Jesus Podcast, the wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim. I'm your host and fellow traveler, Tom Lieberg, and glad you've come along for our journey together. There's a scene in Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone when Harry is entering Hogwarts School of Wizardry, right before the students are assigned to their houses. Now, if you aren't familiar with the movies, Hogwarts is a boarding school for future wizards, and everyone's assigned to a house, kind of like a fraternity, the entire time they're in school. Each has its own history and glories and shames, each with its own understanding of who are proper wizards and who are not. Just before they go in, a young man named Draco Malfoy comes up to Harry with a rather arrogant look and introduces himself. With a rather dismissive glance at the new friends Harry made on his trip there, Malfoy then focuses in on Harry.
You'll soon find out that some wizarding families are better than others, Potter. You don't want to go making friends with the wrong sort.
Harry looks at Malfoy's outstretched hand and says he can figure out the wrong sort on his own, and walks right past this angry young wizard with his new wrong sort of friends. The wrong sort of people. It's a warning that we give each other. You do it at school at an early age as to who you eat lunch with, to high school as to whose parties you go to or avoid. For those of us who are parents, well, we do it when the first boyfriend or girlfriend is announced. We want background checks, we Google Earth to see where their parents live, we stalk them on Facebook to see pictures. We talk to other parents to find out, you know, do these kids come from nice families? Which, of course, means, are they people like us, who live like us, believe like us? Because those that don't are the wrong sort of people. Now, we're told that we need to figure out who those people are. And no matter what your age, we have plenty of people from friends to parents and churches who are ready to tell us exactly who the wrong people are. Thing is, we forget Jesus was in the same situation. Over and over again, this group called the Pharisees kept coming to him, first to help him, but then eventually to condemn him. As he began his ministry, these Pharisees, who were very strict, law-abiding, pious Jews, liked what Jesus said about the God of Israel, calling people back to God. They were pleased that he would first go to the synagogue to teach and that he would accept their invitations to come to their homes for dinner and discussions. And while they were there, you know, they were more than happy to offer their advice to this young rabbi as to what he should say and where he should go. But then Jesus started hanging out with the wrong sort of people. He went to Samaria, a place where people lived that were hated by the Jews. They didn't believe in God the same way as the people of Jerusalem did, which of course was the right way. But then it got worse. Jesus and his disciples stopped following the Sabbath laws. He healed on the Sabbath, which of course was against the rules. And he was eating on the Sabbath and preparing his food that day, which was against the rules. And they weren't washing their hands properly, as all good believers did. But then there were the parties. Jesus stopped going to the formal dinners of the Pharisees, and he began to go to parties thrown by the wrong sort of people. People like tax collectors, which of course were Jewish citizens who were working for the Romans to collect taxes, which of course made them traitors. And these parties, they were filled with all the wrong kinds of people, people who would never be led into a synagogue or to any of the Pharisees' proper dinners. Prostitutes, Roman soldiers, the crippled, the sick. Jesus would start taking the time to be with them. He'd touch them. He'd party with them. He'd call them friends. And all these wrong sort of people had the gall to actually believe that what Jesus said about the kingdom of God, what Jesus said about God's love for his people, actually applied to them. The Pharisees were appalled. That certainly wasn't the case. They could help Jesus make the right kind of friends and say the right kind of things, but Jesus seemed determined to figure out who the wrong sort were on his own. The reason I pull that part out of the Gospels is that this wasn't just a problem for Jesus. It's an ongoing problem with the church today. You know, it's sadly comical when you think about it. Here is the church that says that it follows Jesus, and then it gets all bent out of shape when people take that seriously and actually go where Jesus went. You know, one common criticism that people have of congregations today is that when you walk in the door, the message is not welcome just as you are, it's assimilate. It's kind of like the Borg in Star Trek.
We are the Borg. Lower your shields and surrender your ships. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile.
I mean, think about it. You walk into any traditional church, or you know, pretty much any church anymore, and what do? You sit in straight line benches like it's in school. You sing songs from the 18th and 19th century, and that's considered modern. You pray to God in the language of Shakespeare. And you look at how people dressed? Well, it's highly appropriate if you're appearing in Weird Al's white nerdy video. That's the funny part. It really can get much more worse than that. Being archaic can be quaint, and don't get me wrong, I enjoy traditional worship. But being the Pharisees reborn, that's another thing entirely. The church has a tendency to turn on its own, and we're never more cruel, I think, than when we believe that certain Christians have taken this following Jesus stuff to the wrong sort of places and the wrong sort of people. In our area, there are two new Lutheran congregations that are starting, built on the presumption of who should be kept out, specifically gay or lesbian pastors who have life partners. Our denomination chose last year to welcome partnered same-sex clergy as an option for any of our congregations, their choice. And while it's really been a long and remains a difficult conversation, some congregations, or in this case, some people, have chosen to leave, and I have no problem with that. But I wonder, can you really build a church on a negative? On who you keep out? On making sure that the wrong sort of people don't end up in leadership? Which, of course, means we really don't want the wrong sort of people with us at all, unless, of course, they're ready to become like us. So these two churches are forming because they disagree on how far to keep people out and keep themselves pure. But the thing is, they aren't going to work together. They join different groups in the name of right doctrine, the premise of making sure that Jesus doesn't end up in the wrong sort of places with the wrong sort of people, using the Bible the wrong sort of way. That's just a small example. You get out onto the net and cruise around the religious news websites, and you find Christians taking pot shots at each other regularly, all because pastors and people go to the wrong sort of places that we have come to believe that proper Christians shouldn't go. There's the Strip Church in Las Vegas, for example. If you haven't heard of the Strip Church, it's a fantastic ministry. But this is a church in the heart of Sin City that has made its reputation by going into local brothels and doing free makeovers for the girls, painting their rooms, bringing out a bus and doing home-cooked dinners. And then they ask the girls specifically, you know, what their needs are. At first, the brothels did not want a church out there and did everything they could to keep them away. Likewise, they were criticized by Christians for even going in, for perpetuating prostitution by paying for work that the owners won't, that it's just a publicity stunt. Because as we know, pimps and prostitutes are not people that the church should be working with or supporting or keeping company with. But the Strip Church keeps going back, and they're now welcomed. Girls who want to leave the business are welcomed by the church and cared for. In fact, owners will even call the church to help a girl who's in trouble. The thing is, it's all the wrong sort of people, but on Sundays they all gather at the Strip Church to hear Jesus speak love to them. Now that's got to be a sight. Prostitutes and pimps worshiping in church together. Then there's this Lutheran congregation that was discouraged that younger generations were simply ignoring the church. This is in Finland. Essentially, the 18 to 35-year-old group had checked out of church. Church is old-fashioned, boring, irrelevant. And in this little congregation, Sunday mornings were attended by less than 80 people in the sanctuary that used to hold hundreds. So the two pastors and the youth director, all of whom enjoyed heavy metal music, and one of the pastors is actually in a band, created something they called the Metal Mass. And the idea was real simple. Take the Lutheran liturgy and set it to heavy metal rock music. Finland is metal central in the world now. Metal dominates all music in Finland anymore. But why not? Luther used folk songs for worship. Why not use metal? So they got the word out around town. And that first night, over 350 people showed up. They did it on Saturday nights. Nearly all of them under the age of 40. The next week, 750 showed up. They had to set up chairs outside the church, and you had people of all ages there. And they've been criticized. Now, those pastors have brought this unholy, loud, ungodly music into the church. And, of course, rock fans have accused them of warping metal, which, of course, is all about, you know, rebellion and, you know, whatever. You know, I listen to AC/DC and early metal stuff. Rock fans have accused them of warping metal into something nice, which, of course, it isn't. Thing is now, throughout Finland, there is a metal mass tour going from church to church around the country, and the metal mass music is a top album being sold throughout Europe. Every Saturday night, a growing number of Lutheran congregations in Finland are filled to standing room only with all the wrong sorts of people. Tattoos and piercings and leather and chains and wild hair and, you know, you name it. People. The people have been changed. Who no longer come for just the music, they gather on Saturday nights in churches to hear Jesus speak love to them. When you follow in the steps of Jesus, the truth is you will inevitably be led into the company of the wrong sort of people, people not at all like you. Whether their outside is different because of how they look or dress, or the inside because they believe something wildly different than you, Jesus still sends his church out there because, we hate to admit it, we are equally strange and equally different. Now, Jesus points out to us what Paul reminds people of in the Bible as well. The phrase he uses is, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that includes the right kind of people. See, in God's eyes, none of us are right. Prim and proper church people, or Finnish headbangers, or hookers in Las Vegas. We're all in the same boat. And so Jesus comes to live among all of us, to celebrate among us, to seek out the most different so they can know God's love. You know, Rob Bell's become an easy target for evangelicals. He caught all kinds of flack when Mars Hill Church plastered Love Wins stickers all over Grand Rapids, Michigan. Criticism? Ah, you're being too easy on sin. There's not enough solid enough doctrine. You're playing fast and loose with the Bible. It's just not that easy following Jesus. It's just not singing love is all you need. Actually, that's where it starts. I think Jesus is pretty clear. All you need is him, and if you have him, you go and love like he did, and there aren't any strings attached. No born-again experience, no doctrine test, no training camp. Go and love like he did. Jesus will be with you. That's hard. Because it means congregations and Christians have to embrace the C word, change.
My mother was a Lutheran missionary from Scandinavia. And my father, a deacon from Mexico. They tried to convert each other, but they got married instead. And then they died.
If we say Jesus changes lives, then it has to apply to prim and proper every Sunday folks, as well as Finnish metalheads and hookers in Nevada. I think Jesus has a dream for Christians today. One that I have as I look over Facebook posts and blog arguments and all the foolishness that gets broadcast on TV. Jesus wants his people to be in the wrong places with the wrong people. He wants us to gather so that the Jesus who parties with the wrong kind of people is seen in how we live. He wants churches to be filled with the rafters filled up to the rafters with all the wrong kinds of people as defined by local values, whatever they are. And they call that place home. There's places like that. They're out there on the web. They're out there in our communities. Places where a metal mask doesn't sound weird and rehabbing a brothel isn't offensive, even if the right kind of people criticize us for it. Like Harry Potter found, there are lots of people like Draco Malfoy out there to to tell us who the right and wrong sort of people are. All you need to do is listen to the network and cable news channels and you get that. But there is only one voice for us to listen to, one voice who can sort out who we should be with, who we should serve. A voice that's been heard by people in the brothels of Las Vegas and the loud guitars of Finland. And just maybe, each one of us can find at least one place where we can hear that voice for ourselves. Well, that's it for Wired Jesus number 55. Links to the Strip Church and the Metal Mass are on the webpage. Still working through my batch of scripts, so I'll keep plugging away as I juggle life and pastoring. This microphone, I'm not real happy with this recording, but it's the best mic I've got available at the moment, so hopefully in a few weeks I'll have my new equipment here and be able to do an upgrade. Also, I've had several people email me or message me on Facebook or post that they would be interested in purchasing a full set of the Wired Jesus podcasts if I were to offer that. You know, I've never really thought about that before. But if that's something you're interested in, let me know. Message me, drop me an email. I'll have to explore if that's possible without creating some problems for me. After all, if you noticed on the blog, Philadelphia is now trying to tax bloggers and podcasters living there if they have any kind of income off their work. And it's a base penalty of like $500. So if I sell three copies of, you know, all 55 podcasts and end up, you know, for, you know, what, I don't know, $25-$50 a piece or whatever, and end up having to pay $500, I probably won't do that. But most still are available here on the blog page. But I'll check that out about putting together a DVD. Well, fall is here. The farmer out back of the house is finishing up taking off his corn. Yes, I'm in that rural of an area. So I think I'll call it a night. So until the next podcast, thanks for listening and see you out there on the road.
What if God was one of us? Just a slot like one of us. Blue, 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 blue. Yeah, blah, blee, blee, blee. Well done. Very good.
Dr. Evil, that was fantastic.
Thank you, number two. I wrote that.
Yeah.